Okay, Father, we just thank you so much for another good night tonight. I know it's going to be an awesome time with you. Lord, we thank you for being here and anointing every one of us, Lord. And I thank you for the sharing that's going to happen tonight, the testimonies. Lord, we thank you for an open heaven. And we thank you, Lord, for open communications for everybody on this Zoom call. Lord, we're not limited by man's ability to keep us on, because we know supernaturally you can keep us all on here until we're through. And Lord, I thank you for doing that, that nobody here is going to experience any kind of trouble at all with our Zoom. Thank you, Father, that your angels are on the job. And we praise you for all that you're doing in each one of us, in Jesus' name. That Jeanette's not going to have any problems. Nobody in here is going to have problems tonight, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers immediately. And Father, we just praise you and glorify you for all that you already do for us. Lord, there's some tumultuous times we're in right now. I thank you, Lord, for protecting our president and the people around him that are patriots. And Lord, we thank you for it. Not that we're, Lord, as true believers in you, Lord, our patriotism is toward the kingdom of God. But you've given this place to live, and you've told us that you're going to give us 3.5 years at least of general protection against any kind of problem from the government. And I know at a point in time that it's going to change, and it's going to change drastically, but you're going to give us 3.5 years of good freedom to preach the gospel. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for everybody that's here tonight and everybody listening, Lord, that you're going to bless them and bless them mightily. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you beforehand of all the healings, the deliverances, the circumstances that seemingly are unmovable, that you, when we pray and believe, Lord, we know that our prayers are answered, and we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do tonight. We ask that your Holy Spirit lead and guide us tonight in every direction that you want us to go, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So you got 3 people in the waiting room. Okay. Had to mute you again, Anna. We got you, though. All right. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Hi, Julie. Hi, Larry and Connie. Yeah. Hi, Julie.
Prayer requests.
Oh, okay.
And I was waving, too. Hello, everybody.
All right, go ahead.
I'd like prayer for my health. I don't know what's going on. I'm fighting the good fight of faith, and I'm casting down all the symptoms. But I have been waking up in the morning, and I just feel exhausted. I'm tired. It takes forever just to get. I shouldn't say that. It doesn't take forever. It takes me a while to get focused and get moving, and I'm not waking up with, it's just a tiredness and fatigue and exhaustion, and I come against a witchcraft all the time, and it takes me about a good half hour to 45 minutes to really get, you know, focused and moving, and that's not normal, and I don't know what it is, but I know whatever it is, it's gone. In Jesus' name. But I would like you all to pray for me in agreement that I am healed from whatever this issue is.
Amen. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And in the name of Jesus right now, I command this infirmity off of her. I command supernatural energy of God all over her, in her, and around her in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that from this point on, she's not going to experience any of those symptoms. I command every one of those symptoms to leave her body right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that Julie is healed, delivered, and set free from all of that stuff in Jesus' name. Everybody believe that? Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Anna, you're unmuted again.
Amen. Thank you. I am healed. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you,
Lord. Thank you
all. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anyone else? I believe it. How about a testimony? I got a testimony. Julie just was healed. Praise God forevermore. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. My.
I got one, Michael.
Yes, ma'am.
Larry and I was outside on the patio having a good time, praising the Lord and talking to him and everything. And I was just rocking in this, what do you call it, chair that rocks outside. And all day long, I noticed that the chair was leaning back a little bit farther. And I thought, I'll just rock a little bit more. Well, it broke. It was a metal chair-like, and it broke. And I went down, and there was a chair behind me, a wooden chair, and it hit my head. And I thank God for that, because if it had been the cement, the Lord told me my head would have been busted open probably, and the chair is what saved me. And I kept, Larry wanted to get me up, and I said, just wait a minute. And I kept my hand on my head because where I hit it, I know there was a bump there, and I just kept on holding it there. And I said, now I can get up, and no headache, nothing. God
praise God.
Took care of it.
Did you bust the wooden chair?
I knocked the paint off of it.
Well, praise God. That's a good testimony. Thank you, Lord.
Did it knock some sense into you?
Huh?
Did it knock some sense into you?
Well, I told Larry, I said, as much as I had trouble with the back of my neck, it might have popped my neck back into place forever.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I'll let you know about the sense tomorrow.
Okay. All right. I believe she not only got sense, she's got a lot of bills.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Yes, Missy. Melissa.
Oh, geez. The Lord's been doing some awesome things here lately. And yes, Julie, you are healed. The Lord is not a respecter of persons, and you are healed. I had been struggling with that kind of thing for quite a while. The Lord had, I was having problems sleeping and then even getting up in the morning and everything. And I started sleeping a lot better. And then when I went down to Tennessee, except for like the first night was kind of like off and on, you know, but when I did sleep, I slept good. But from the rest of the nights, I slept really well, which is very unusual because the bed was firmer than what I'm normally used to, but I just slept so good. And got up in the morning and felt good. And my strength and my energy just was getting better. And my sciatic nerve is healed in Jesus' name. But having said that, it had been bothering me here lately. And then one day, as I was there, it slowly got better. And then one day I went for a walk at the one park, and I just so full of energy, and my sciatic nerve, you know, really wasn't bothering me or hindering me. And since I've been home, it's still been good. And it's like, oh, praise you, Lord. And just a lot of other little things, you know, just I've noticed have gotten better. And like, it's just awesome. And I just praise you, Lord. And I just have this such a sense that, you know, we're so close to things happening, the man child being anointed and everything. And so, you know, everybody keep fighting the good fight of the faith. And like, one thing with my back, you know, it bothers me now and then and stuff like that. And it's been kind of weird. It's been kind of sore, but at the same time, it's something's changed in it, and it feels better. I don't know how to explain it. I sound like I'm contradicting myself, but I don't know how to explain it. But you know, it's like, and I know that by faith it's healed, and I know the Lord's ramping up the healing of it. And it's like the enemy was trying to say to me, well, it just hurts because you're in a different stage of healing. And I'm like, well, no, because Jesus bore that pain and I don't need to receive that. And I rebuke it. And when I did that, you know, it's just started feeling better. It's like something's shifted in my back into place. And it's not used to being there, and it's kind of sore from it. And that's the only way I know how to describe it, is my sense of it. But I just even cast that down. It's like, nope, Jesus bore that pain. I don't even have to feel any pain at all. You know, it's healed in Jesus' name. So I think that's pretty much what I wanted to share. And I was just like, it was so good to be down in Tennessee. And you know, I attribute to me feeling better and everything. What you've said, well, it's probably that oppression and that crazy state up there where they have such a lockdown and everything. And well, that's probably part of it, but it's just, and I just attribute it to of just being around my brothers and sisters down there, and just the Spirit of God, just, you know, and the love of God being so strong and all. Love heals, cures, covers a lot of stuff. And so praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else?
Missy, I want to say something to Missy.
Yeah.
I want to thank you very much this morning telling me about your sciatic nerve. Remember when you were saying about it? Okay, I've been suffering with my hip, and it's not my hip. It's down by my leg where the sciatic was, so we prayed about it. It's completely gone.
Praise the Lord.
And I want to thank you for bringing that up. The
Amen.
Pain is gone.
Yep, you're healed, and so am I. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yep, that's right.
It's not a respecter Amen. Of persons.
That's right.
Y'all ought to be getting up and dancing around your chair right now. I'm telling you the truth. That is so awesome. Yep, I go kind of go, girl. Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay, anyone else?
Michael, Barbara said she can't get on the outreach for some reason. She says, is there a new link? It keeps telling me forbidden. I don't understand. It shouldn't.
Well, tell her to try again. I'll be watching. Look down there. Do you see participants down at the bottom? Sometimes
yeah.
I miss it, and as she's trying to get on, I might miss it. And
okay.
Help me to see her.
Okay.
All right. Anybody else got a prayer request, testimony, or praise report? Yeah, Leon, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I had an encounter today. I went to Walmart to get some gas, and then the Dollar Tree is right across the street from it. So they've been out of hand soap, liquid hand soap, ever since the coronavirus started. They had shelves and shelves of it one day, and the next day it was all gone. So I've been going back and seeing if they've got it. And I just, today I thought, well, I'll just go over there and see if they got it. And they actually had it. So I got a couple of bottles of it. And I went up to the register, and there was a young lady there. I don't know, she's probably in her 20s, maybe 30 at the most. But she had a mask on and gloves. And I said, oh, you still got to wear those. And she goes, yeah, coronavirus and blah, blah. I said, you don't have to wear those. Yeah, I do, because my dad's got cancer, she says. I said, really? You know? So I said, well, you know, God still heals. And she goes, yeah, I know. I said, but you know what? You got to believe it. And she says, I believe it. And I said, well, your father's got to believe it too. And she says he believes it too. And I said, hey, can I give you a book? So I went out and got the God's vaccine, because it's got all the principles in there that they need to know about healing. So I brought it in and explained it to her, and she was really grateful to get it. So that was a blessing, you know, and plus I got the soap. So that was a blessing too. So I'll go back in a few days, and if she's read any of it, or whenever I catch her again, you know, if she's read any of it, I'm going to see about maybe talking to her father, you know. So because he's the one that's got the cancer, he's the one that's got to believe, and so forth. So pretty good, interesting. Just a couple of minutes there, so.
Amen.
God bless.
All right, Jeanette, go ahead.
Yes, mine's more of a praise instead of a testimony or prayer request. A week ago today, I had 5 ash trees cut down that were bad, and close, 3 of them were close to the house, and 2 were in the wooded area. They came out with a brand new crane that went extremely high. No one had to climb the trees. They grabbed a hold of it with 2 big teeth like prongs, and underneath was a saw, and was all run all by remote control, basically. And they cut it down, and so they cut them down all the way, did a real good job. But a part in the what I call the gully, where there's 3 ash trees, yeah, the ground has been so soft that they were supposed to do it in the winter, but it never froze up hard enough. So they did come out last Tuesday, and the ground was still soft. So the smaller machine that they used to do some work put some ruts in the ground and everything. Well, my oldest son from Michigan and his wife, he's been wanting to power wash my driveway and my house. So they came down last Thursday about midnight, and Steve and Helen and Josh, Kirsten and Luke came down about 11:15 Friday morning. They both had power washers, and so they power washed my tri-level home, my big double garage, and all the driveway, and they did numerous jobs. I had a honey-do list ready for them. So I am so blessed and thankful for my grown kids and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, that they accomplished an awful lot doing the work of Friday and Saturday. And so I just wanted to give a praise and thank the Lord that I have children that can do things like that. I do, my son Steve told me there's another branch that's hanging over my house that really should be cut down off this huge oak tree. And there's another dead ash tree up the hill from me that's still on my property. I have about an acre of property, and some of it's wooded and some of it isn't. Anyways, I think I'll have to contact them again to come out and give me a price to take care of those two things, because it was a concern about strong winds coming and blowing something on my roof. And previous to last week, we had 38-mile winds, and it did create a lot of debris all over the place and all over the roofs, the garage roof and everything. So I just want to give a praise to the Lord about how he takes care of me, and I always feel blessed. So that's it.
Amen. Yeah, Missy.
Barbara still can't get on. I think we need to, when I click on the page says error forbidden, and I told her to close Zoom and try again. She said she has been doing that. And
give her the number again. Make sure she's putting the right number in. ID number.
Missy?
Hmm?
Tell her to reboot her computer or her phone, whichever she's using.
Okay.
Try to do that and then all right.
Okay. Well, in the name of Jesus, any interference by the enemy and principalities, rulers, darkness, spiritual wickedness, and high places, we cast you down in the name of Jesus. We forbid this, and we thank you, Lord, that Barbara is going to get on the next time she tries, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, anyone else? Okay, Gano texted me, and she's got some prayer requests, so I guess we can take care of those now. She said, I would appreciate prayer for Tracy's son, Blake, who will be flying to North Carolina tomorrow to pick up his son for the summer, and for my daughter, Leanne. Okay, well, let's pray for Blake first. Lord, we just lift up Tracy's son, Blake, who's flying to North Carolina tomorrow. Lord, we thank you that there's not going to be any problems. He's going to have a smooth flight, going to be smooth getting on the plane, smooth getting off the plane, smooth getting his son, and a smooth ride back. And Lord, we thank you that Tracy and that Blake and his son are going to have a fine summer together, in Jesus' name. And then she says, for her daughter Leanne, who will be flying to Nebraska tomorrow to help her, help Gano. Lord, we just lift up Leanne to you, and we thank you, Lord, that her flight is going to be awesome going there and going back, and she's not going to have any problems whatsoever. We thank you for your warrior angels round about her there, on the way there, and on the way back, in Jesus' name. And while she's there, we thank you, Lord, that Leanne and Gano are going to get a lot done, in Jesus' name. We praise you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that there's not going to be any problems with coronavirus at all on any of them, in the name of Jesus. We have a Passover. We don't have to worry about that garbage, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Who's next? Hey, Ronnie. How's it going, buddy? Hi, Will. You know,
Evening.
Good evening. And it is a good evening. It's a fine day here in East Tennessee. All right, anyone else? Leon, go ahead, bro.
Just let me tell you my experience. I took my truck in to get the front end aligned, and of course they said, well, you gotta have upper ball joints and control arms and blah, blah, blah. It'll be $587. And I said, well, I'll just have to save that money up. I don't have that. But anyway, I took it to a another guy that we know, we use him quite a bit in the fellowship here. But he said, I'll do it for 300. So I said, oh, that's good. But he found more stuff wrong with it. And it was 365, which was still a couple of $100 cheaper. But he couldn't align the front end. So he told me to go over to another place, the co-op. And I said, okay. So I got an appointment for today at 4 o'clock, right? So I went over there, and then the guy comes in and he says, I noticed that you had this replaced and that replaced, but you didn't have this replaced. So you need something done over here. And I said, come on, you guys are crazy with this. Do this, do that, don't do that. I said, look, just align the front end and I'll take care of that. But it's amazing. I had two people look at it. Nobody ever said anything about the part that he's talking about, but they always find something wrong, you know. You got to have more done and more done. So,
well, I'd go by the second guy because we know him. He's a Christian guy.
Yeah. He replaced all that good. He replaced all that stuff and never said anything about this part that he was talking about. So, I agree.
He's pretty good.
So I got my front end line today.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, Missy.
Thanks for the reminder, Leon, of all your vehicle stuff. That reminds me of what I went through with my RAV. I had the alternator replaced, and they told me that they had to unhook the AC. Well, I got it back, and the AC didn't work, so I took it back in, and then it worked for a while. I went to my family's and back, and then was home like 2 days, and it didn't work. And I was believing that, you know, it was going to work for me to go to Tennessee. Well, I went the whole way to Tennessee without AC, and I sweat like a pig. Oh, you'd have to put in there, sweat like a pig. Praise the Lord, you can receive nothing except to come from Him. And I was like, just like, am I supposed to go, you know? And the Lord told me, yeah, He's still wanting me to go. So anyway, I think it was just so I could get it fixed while I was down there, get it fixed right. And what they did was they put this piece in that wasn't, it wouldn't seal. Wrong seal. I mean, they put a metal seal in when they were supposed to put something that was rubberized. They just grabbed the first thing that they saw, I think, or something or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, but the thing of it is the guy that fixed my AC is the guy that fixed Leon's truck. But anyway, he said he doesn't see how in the world I drove a total of 7 hours and my AC lasted. He says, because when he tested it, just everything gushed out of this. And he says he doesn't know how it held up to pressure or anything like that, and that the AC lasted for me. So I praise the Lord that it lasted. I didn't have an issue with it going to my family's and back. That was definitely the Lord. So thank you, Lord. And then, so anyway, he told me what they did in their jimmy rigging it, is what I call it. And he told me, he says, because he wasn't going to come right out and tell me, but I started asking questions, you know, well, what was wrong and da, 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 da. And he had this gasket thing that they had put in, and he over on his desk, and he went over and got it and started telling me about it. And he says, well, I'd take this bill to him and tell him, you know, you'd like to be reimbursed for what you paid. So I did today, but the manager wasn't there, so I have to go back Thursday. So I thank you, Lord, that the manager is gonna approve me getting paid, reimbursed for what I had to pay down there in Tennessee, because it was what they did, Lord. And I thank you and I praise you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Make them honest, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? I do want to relate, I don't know if David sent it out or not on the e-list, the the word that Garrett got. He didn't send it out on the e-list. Okay, I'm gonna give it to you because it's for all of David's children, he said. Okay, hang on, I was looking something up. And I think it's something that we all can look forward to. It's a real good word that he gave us. Yeah, let me find it here. He said, no, that's not it. Well, what? Okay. This is Garrett Crawford. All right, is that Barbara there? Barbara, is that you? 402-219 number? No, that's Tracy. That's Tracy. Okay, he says, I write this in faith to all my brothers and sisters and David's spiritual children. I received a word from the Lord today that exactly 6 weeks from now, which brings us to July the 24th, we will receive a wonderful sign and promise from the Lord. I have to open and record this now while the faith is upon me. Let God be true and every man a liar. Only God's word will be fulfilled. Every word of man will fall to the ground. I pray this is from the Lord. Please ask for wisdom and see if the Lord will confirm this with you. Well, we have. And it looks like it's going to be a lot of things happening. The anointing. Help me out here, Leon and Missy. The anointing, the wealth to bring this revival in. Also, the anointing of the man child.
The RV.
Well, we're not going to mention that on the recording, are we? Oh, that's why I was talking about the riches, but that's okay. That's all right. All right, let's see what else.
The faction of the church and deep state being brought down.
Yeah, the faction of the church and the deep state being brought down. A lot of things are going to be happening. So the thing that I wanted to bring out is that we all need to stay off the internet with the news stuff. Y'all probably heard David's teaching. And just stay with the Lord. The Lord's got all the news that we need. He's got every bit of the news that we need. Look, I was guilty too. I mean, I was doing more news than I was Jesus, and that's not good. And that's the Lord was not happy with it either. But we're now back on focus, and we're going back in, and focusing on the Lord, and as we should. Stay with God. He's got all the news that we need. We'll get dreams. We'll get visions. We'll get words of knowledge that God will tell us what to pray against or pray for, and we'll just do it. You know? So anyway, that's one of the good things that I have tonight is that word from him, signs and wonderful sign, he said. A wonderful sign. Who's wonderful? That's Jesus, isn't it? A wonderful sign. Has anybody got any comments? Yes, Marilyn.
Missy had shared that word with me a day or two ago. And I'm not saying this is a thus saith the Lord or anything, but I felt led to look up the date in relation to the Jewish holidays, which, you know, obviously I don't follow that stuff and I don't, participate in these things. But during that time, it's in a festival called, or a time called the 3 weeks. And it's a time the 3 weeks is an annual mourning period that falls out in the summer. This is when they mourn the destruction of the Holy Temple and going into exile with an eye to the future. And, you know, it goes on. But anyway, it's a time of mourning. And I thought, well, okay, I'm praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit every day. I'm praying for the revival. I'm praying for the body, for the Lord to lift up his body. I know the Lord has really put it on Sue's heart because she was really talking about it last week. Arise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the risen Lord has shined upon thee. And so I've been praying now for probably about 3 months, every afternoon for the body. And here recently, the Lord's been really having me focus a lot more in on UBM. And, but anyway, I was thinking about that, this time of mourning, but the Lord tells us in Isaiah that he gives us beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, for we are the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So I was, when I read that, I was so encouraged, and I'm believing that it's for, this great anointing and for the body and for the man child and the beginning of the revival. Anyway,
amen.
That's all.
I believe that. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Everybody be praying for it. Everybody be praying for revival, praying for each other, praying that everybody would be ready. And praying against the enemies. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Missy.
Now, this isn't a thus saith the Lord either, but I have a sense that between now and then, things are going to look a lot worse. Things are going to get worse. And, but, you know,
in what way?
Well, just things in the natural and the physical, just with what's going on in the country and even worldwide, you know. That's just my sense, but I think the Lord's gonna use that to cause his people, you know, that have been asleep, you know, to wake up and start. They're going to be mourning, like Marilyn was saying. There's a mourning, and or they're going to be crying out to the Lord, and not only with our prayers, you know, those of us who are aware of what the Lord's doing, but ones that don't understand, but. And don't even realize, and I think more and more, you know, I think the Lord's waking his people up to realize that they're in captivity. They're in captivity to Babylon. That isn't how they would put it, but most of them wouldn't put it that way. But that's the reality of it. And I think people are going to start, I think the Lord's using everything to wake his people up and turn their hearts to him and really start seeking him and crying out to him and bringing repentance in this revival. And I think our prayers and their prayers is, you know, the Lord's, that's what he wants, and he's going to pour out his spirit and bring this revival and all. That's just my sense.
Okay. Let me get Pat, Julie. Pat's got his hand up.
Yeah, something kind of interesting last night. Yesterday, we prayed about my garbage disposal and a bunch of other different things for me, and the Lord healed that. But yesterday, that garbage disposal quit working again. And instead of rebuking that and correcting it immediately and standing in faith, I got depressed. Like I got, what's going on here? Here we go again, you know, or whatever. And just started spiraling down. And so I went to bed last night early, 9 o'clock or whatever. I usually go to bed at say 10 o'clock or whatever. But I went to bed about 9:30. And the Lord woke me up at 1:30 this morning. And wide awake, and I woke up and was immediately praying in tongues, and so I just continued on with the Lord and fought the battle, half of which I didn't know what the battle was, what I was fighting. But halfway through, the Lord gave me, it was just a little quick sentence, and that was, take away the basket and let your light shine. And I kind of sloughed by it and kept on going and just started, kept praying and whatever. And in normal circumstances, I would have been a little bit, you know, discouraged. I woke up at 1:30 and now I have a hard time getting back to sleep, and I got to get up at 4, and it really makes it a little tough to, you know, go through the next day or go through today. But I just put it out of my mind and just kept on praying, and I prayed for, I don't, it had to be an hour or so, something like that. And then before I went to bed, I had to throw the verses that the Lord gave me down. And it was the one in Luke 11:33. And that is where I'll just read it. It said, "No man, when he lighteth a lamp, put it in a cellar," or in the King James it said under a basket. Well, anyway, said, "neither under the bushel, but on a stand, that they which enter in may see the light. The lamp of the body is thine eye, and when thine eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. But when it is evil, thy body is full of darkness. Look therefore whether the light that is in thee be not darkness. If therefore the whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it shall be wholly full of light, as when the lamp with its bright shining gives forth its light. And as I continued on, as I was getting towards the end of that scripture, the scripture came to my mind about in Colossians, where he says, set your mind on the things that are above and not on the things that are beneath. So I have to say that I was pondering these things, and I continue to pray in tongues through the process, even when I was reading these scriptures or thinking about it. The next morning or this morning when I finally got up, they were still on my mind, and I flipped them in an email to myself so I could remember them. But I'm asking for prayer to specifically apply what the Lord is telling me related to those scriptures and that particular command in removing the basket. So, I guess I don't want to. Many times when I get things like that, I you know, jump up and you know, whip up the strength or the fortitude and blast into something and try to do or try to accomplish or try to, you know, do whatever was on my mind. And many times in that enthusiasm, miss the mark, fail, or whatever, and crash and burn through the process. And I don't want that anymore. I just want the Lord to enlighten my eyes, give me understanding, give me faith to step out in whatever direction He's showing me, and allow me to understand what He means, what specifically He means for me about removing the basket and letting the light shine. So that is my prayer request, and I'm just asking you, Lord, just to open up my eyes, allow me to see what you're trying to show me through the process, and Lord, just give me grace to walk in obedience and submission to the truth that you show me. Thank you for filling me with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Give me boldness of faith to walk in the things that I need to walk in. And I just ask you for your grace, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We believe with you, Lord. You're going to show him everything he needs to know in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Father, for that. Glory, hallelujah. All right, Miss Julie. Not you, Judy. Miss Julie. Do you see how fast she went after that microphone? Glory to God.
She can go next.
Okay.
She can go next. Well, I just kind of wanted to confirm what Missy was talking about, and the Lord was just kind of impressing upon me a few weeks ago when I was sitting here with the Lord and just meditating and praying, and that he, you know, you're not sure you always hear the voice of the Lord, but I was getting the sense that I was hearing that, you know, he was saying things are going to get worse, you know, because I'm starting to see, you know, businesses open around here and people, you know, getting back to, you know, trying to make a living and getting back to, you know, their regular things, stores opening and that kind of stuff. And I'm glad for them, you know, this is where I live and I shop and I, you know, I know some of these people personally. And so it's like, and I'm hearing the Lord say, you know, just trust me, but things are going to get worse and, you know, and rest in him. So just kind of a confirmation of what Missy was saying. And then for Patrick, I hope maybe this will help you have a little testimony about what you were just saying with that verse. This is a few years ago, and I was on my way to work, and I was praying in the spirit, and I was singing in the spirit, and I was on my way, you know, work, and I was pulling into the garage where I was parked at, and I've been praying in the spirit, and then out of my mouth said, "And let your light so shine before men." And I'm like, that came out of my mouth. Like, I had been praying that in the spirit, apparently, and Lord just came flowing out of my mouth. And I'm like, okay. Didn't know what that was all about. But at work that day, I helped a guy with some software issues. I'm not a techie person, but I know how to use our software systems, and I learned a trick on how to do something with our timesheet system. And the only way, you know, that you had to do this is like you had to re-enter everything, you know, into this code of, you know, each day, one by one, each hour thing, whatever it was. And I said, "No, you don't. You just need to do this." And I was showing him, and I got down next to him. He was in his chair, and I got down on my knees next to him, and I was showing him on the computer. So we were both at eye level almost, and showing him, "This is how you do it." And he's like, "Oh, wow, thank God." It was just let your light so shine. I was just doing what I knew how to do. I helped him. It was not a big deal, but he was like, "Wow, thank God." You know, he was kind of like embarrassed that he said it, because he just was like, it just flew out of his mouth. You know, it was so responsive, it was so natural for him. And, you know, so just be yourself. Just do what you know how to do. And you know, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. That guy, you know, just came out of his mouth, "Oh, thank God," you know. Everyone kind of, he looked around like, "Oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that," you know. But, you know, I was like, that's what the Lord wanted, you know. Just be yourself. Just do what you know how to do, and don't make a big deal out of it. You just let God, we're known for our good works. And they're not always like preaching, okay. It's just Christ in you. You know how to do good. You have a good head on your shoulders. You're smart. You're intelligent. And, you know, don't get caught up in all the bondages, I guess, is maybe what I'm saying. Just be yourself. Hope that helps.
Thank you, Lord. Okay. All right, Judy. Judy.
I wasn't really wanting to say anything, since I was, what I had my hand up was to praise with Pat. I was agreeing with him.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, though.
Amen. You're healed too, aren't you?
Yep. And my leg is going to get long. Is longer. My left leg.
It's already longer. It grew out last night.
I know. I said my left leg is longer. Yeah,
it's long. It's as long as your right leg. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus. Yeah. All right. Hi, David. How you doing, brother? Glad you can make it. I keep getting, y'all get text messages from Trump all the time. I get these text messages from him. I don't know. He just needs my advice on everything. Glory to God. He also wants my money. This man's billionaire, and he keeps asking me for money. Oh, man. It's the trials and tribulations. Yeah, go ahead, Will.
Guys, evening, everyone. Evening, Michael.
Yeah, bless you, Will. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, thank you. What did I want to say? Oh, yes. Can you hear me? Can you hear me good?
Yes, sir. Sure can.
All right. Yeah, now what Missy and what Julie was talking about was exactly what I wrote down today. I'm slightly confused about what to pray up and what to pray down. I've mentioned it before. Let me just get my question right. We're praying against the factious. Is that right?
Yes.
In everything that they're up to, or are we praying some things up or some things down?
We're praying against all their attacks against God's people. And also, Will, we're praying against the government faction, the deep state. that it comes down as well, that the Lord would drain that swamp. Yours, ours, all of them.
Are they responsible for the coronavirus or not?
Yes.
So, but we're not praying the coronavirus down.
What we're doing, we're praying for God's chosen.
So, but what I wanted to ask, we're not praying the coronavirus down, eh?
No. We're praying that God's people, God's chosen, are shielded from it, and they will get a revelation of faith, you know, that type of thing.
Missy? Okay, yeah.
Hang on just a minute. Well, I think Missy's got a question or an answer here. What?
Okay.
Well, I was talking to my mom today, and she mentioned about all these rioting and protests and everything, and that she's seen, not necessarily on mainstream media, but in the news in general, I think on the internet, that that it seems like this is caused some more cases of coronavirus, because they're out there and they're not wearing masks and they're not social distancing and so on and so forth. And you know what popped into my in my mind to say was, well, Mom, you know, the Lord's using this to judge the wicked, and those people out there that are doing that, you know, especially the rioting and everything, you know, if it is, I said, there's so much disinformation out there. I said, I'm not sure what to believe about that. I said, but if that really is the case, I said, God's bringing judgment to those that are doing this. That's what I told her, you know? So,
things,
you know,
come from, like, God.
Right. And, you know, just like the destroyer that passed over Egypt, and only the firstborn of Egypt died. The Lord picked and chose who was going to die, and all. And the Lord's picking and choosing who's going to get this, who's going to die. You know, some people get it and they don't die from it, but you know, I know the Lord's using it to get his people's attention. He's taking care of the wicked. He's taking the wicked out and everything. And, you know, just like, and I pointed out to my mom, I said, you know, countries and cities and all that have a I forget what was the word that I used. I might have used the word wicked. I can't remember. But, you know, areas where there's a lot of rebellion and whatever, I said, if you notice, that's where, you know, there's a lot of these cases, you know, like New York in particular. And I'm amazed at the number. I haven't looked at the numbers in UK lately, or any of the numbers lately. But the UK, for the amount of cases they have a high death rate for the amount of cases they have, as compared to anybody else. The last I looked. And so, you know, I just see it's just sovereign, you know, the Lord, you know, he's using this. He really is, I believe, picking and choosing. You know, I thoroughly believe that nobody can really peg this, how it's working and everything, because it's God. It was meant for evil, but the God's using it around.
Well, the Lord told us, if you remember, months ago, that we're not to pray down the pestilence.
Right, we can ask for his mercy,
but not to pray it down. Go ahead, Will, with what else you got.
Yeah, you see, that's just my question. And I'd almost want to say, if I'm correct, we're not praying against all the factious activities, because we're leaving this one, the coronavirus thing that they're doing, we're not breaking that, we're letting it
That's sort of pestilence.
Run its course. So yeah, that's been so confusing because sometimes we're praying against the factious and then we're leaving some things that they're doing and some things that, you know, that's why I'm asking these questions. I'm sorry if this was just confusing me what to leave and what not to leave with them.
Just pray for God's people.
Yeah, so I would say
witchcraft.
Yeah, so maybe it would be safe to say when we're praying against some things the factious are doing, but overall against the factious, because this will probably also come down on their heads. They know what's that verse? Whatever trap they lay, they fall in it to themselves.
Yep.
So it will probably also, just by leaving it, it will come down on them. Just by, because the word promises it. So it's very funny.
Amen.
What I also wanted to say was, I wanted to know, I listened to the last few teachings of David, and there was a lot of talk about the civil war that's coming in America, and not to pray it down, if I understood it correctly.
You're talking about the Civil War?
Yeah, and it was if I understood the teachings correctly, it was also to leave it because that will also create repentance in the Lord's people. And then I just had another question about, remember that Hebrides Island revival?
Mm-hmm. Hebrides.
Yeah. That revival sort of took place without any pressure. You know, there wasn't any war pressure or any pressure. It was just the faith of if my people called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and turn from their wickedness, I will hear from heaven and heal their land. They used that promise solely, and then the revival was based on that foundation. There was no other pressure or war pressure or anything that I understood from that revival. It was just that promise. I'm wondering if should we sort of go for that, or is it different this time with the, because should I rather pray down all wars and say, Lord, you will heal this land, South Africa. You're going to heal it. There's not going to be any negative things. The people will just come to you because I'm praying and I turned from my wicked ways and I humbled myself. It's very funny. That's why I'm asking this question. I'm very confused about if I allow any negative war thoughts now, if it's going to be not faith, you know, because based on what happened in the Hebrides, I've really been standing on that promise since I heard that testimony. But now, you know, letting things come in, I know that bad times are good for revival, but it's a bit, it's all very confusing to me. I'm sorry for asking this question.
No, that's okay. As far as what you should pray for, what we've been praying for is that God would shake the apostate churches, would shake the apostate religions, and shake God's chosen out of them. Whatever it takes. And if it takes war, that's what it takes. If it takes pestilence, that's what it takes. But God and Lord, let these people see that they've been in an apostate religion, because they have no power whatsoever. And they're going to see God's people that have the power and come running to them. And that's I would pray that. I would just pray that God would separate his people from the apostate religion into the truth. And there's your revival right there. This revival you're going to see is because of all of the destruction around about these people. It's not going to be. And people's prayers too, Will. Also.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been what's been confusing me, because now I'm sort of thinking, is it really necessary, since the Hebrides Islands experienced a very good revival without any of the pressures? What I understood from it, there was no really famine or any pressure. It was just the promise that if we do what we're supposed to do, the Lord will heal the land. And that's what they took, and it was successful. I'm just wondering why it would be necessary this time around, if that promise will stand without any pressure. I'm just a bit confused, but I'll leave it there.
I'll just say this, and we'll go on. But if you remember 2011, 2001, 9/11, when that happened, people flocked to the churches for a few weeks. After all of the hype and stuff was gone, they went back out of them again. The pressure to go and seek God was off because they thought everything was okay then. This time, God's going to put the pressure. He said he's not stopping. He's not stopping. This destruction that you've seen, all this stuff you've seen, is not going to stop. It's going to go through to the end. It's going to go through to the end. It's not going to get any better. We might have periods, short periods of peace, but it's going to get worse than this. And during that time is when God's people are going to come out and start seeking him rather than these preachers. They're going to get themselves back in the Word of God, and revival's going to start. And that's why God's getting these people ready. He's getting the bride ready to receive these people and teach them and disciple them, send them back out again, because it ain't over. It's not over. It's not going to be over for a long time till the last go round. Okay, Missy.
Well, if I recall correctly, David this morning in the morning prayer meeting said something to the effect that he asked the Father that nothing happened prophetically before its time. And that's basically the gist of it. You know, back in Hebrides' time, it wasn't prophetically, you know, their time isn't our time. Our time is the end times, you know, the tribulation about ready to come about. And so you have to look at the prophetic, you know, prophetically, you know. And so that's the difference. That's the difference from then and now. The Lord's moving in a different way now than what he did back then to bring about revival and stuff. It's just
that was also the result of prayer. Go ahead, Leah.
I was going to say to Will that if the people see that you have the power of God within you, then they're going to be drawn to that. That's where the revival is going to start. They can't see over here. They have to see it in you over there. You and Joe and
all the rest of them.
The other people that know and love the Lord and believe that. So when people see that, that's when that revival will begin. And it won't be based on anything per se, it'll be based on that. That's it.
Amen. Actually, in the Hebrides, the New Hebrides revival, it was two old sisters that were praying for revival. One was blind, and the other one was, I believe she was crippled. But then they stayed in their house and they prayed constantly for that revival. It was a revival of repentance, if I'm not mistaken. This revival is going to be this is going to bring in the most people of God into the kingdom. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I was thinking that when Will was saying that there was no external pressure, doesn't mean that necessarily that there wasn't pressure. And when you're talking about those two women, they felt the pressure of the need for righteousness to be spread through the land, that there was a famine of the word of God or whatever it was. They felt the lack. And I'm just thinking about the revivals here in America. I don't know much about the revival of the Hebrides, but the revivals here in America, which some of them led by Charles Finney and that, and through that wave of preaching and whatnot, I don't think there was anything nationally, you know, like a famine or plagues or any of that sort of situation happening, but there was a sense, you know, God did something in Finney's life to bring forth that need to bring forth the word, the true word of God, and stand up against that apostate system of that day. And so there was a certain pressure being felt within him. One thing I listened to, I happened to catch, I don't know why, a message from Andrew Strom. I catch every once in a while, I'll listen to things from him. He was one of the, he's kind of a, I guess, a holiness preacher.
He's a John the Baptist preacher.
Okay. And kind of into the prophecy movement, I think, except he's pretty well put his finger on the fact that relating to the apostate church, that is, you know, that the whole kit and caboodle is depraved. But he mentioned something. He said that there was a cycle in America of revivals just about every 50 years. And when he said this, I thought about the scriptures or the principle of Jubilee and whatnot. And I don't know how that all fits in or anything, but he was preaching this message. He was preaching in Kansas City. And I don't know, a few months ago, I was listening to a message and he said that he is no longer allowed in America. They won't allow him in across the border. He was trying to get in through Canada and, you know, preach messages here and whatever. But he was refused entrance, I think, in 2010, if I'm not mistaken. And so he had to be preaching this message sometime around that period or maybe a little bit earlier, because I don't believe he's...
I think that message was 2002.
The one in Kansas City?
Yeah, I think so.
So the point being is that America, and he was saying at that time that America is right at the cusp. They're right at the window there where they need to see a revival. And if there isn't a revival, it could very well pass us and bring in the negative events that I think we're all talking about or witnessing right now. In other words, God brings forth and refreshes his word, let's just say every 50 years. But when America or any person's heart refuses that, or society refuses that, and it passes by, then the blessing of revival is passed, and now he has to set forth circumstances to motivate people to seek him. And I think that's maybe more where we are at in this time. I don't know if anybody has heard that same scenario or not, but obviously you have, Michael.
Well, the last revival we had, in my estimation, was the healing revivals of the 50s and the early 60s. And we're past that. Now there was a revival in the 40s, in the early 50s, in what's the name of that college? Leon, you remember? Oh, it was a Methodist college. Ashbury College. There was a revival there, but that was back in the early 50s.
Was there was a bit of a revival. I won't say it was major like that, but it was in the, I think, the early 70s, and it was in the northwest of this country. And as a matter of fact, it was, I think it came down from Canada in those times. Have you heard about that?
Well, the only one I've ever heard of coming from Canada came from the Toronto airport, the False Revival.
No, no, 94. No, I'm not. that's not it. Not so, the one I'm talking about. But it was a short-lived and probably a localized situation, but it was bringing forth kind of the repentance, the open and honesty, the confession of sins, that sort of thing, which was lacking in those, you know, in the churches in those days, lacking now, as a matter of fact. But anyway.
Okay. Go ahead, Will.
Sorry for coming back to, thank you, Pat, and thank you, Missy. I listened to what you said, and then this thought, came to my mind. If it wasn't for this, the other new factors, which I have to consider now with the leap, not bringing down bad times, or the war in America, or the famine in the world right now, my prayer would be something like this. Thank you, Lord, for the revival. It's going to be 100%, meaning all the people in America, all the people in South Africa will really come to you, like in the Hebrides. There will be no fighting, for you promised you will heal this land. That's the prayer that I would pray. But now, with... there will be no fighting because, Lord, you will heal everyone now. Everyone's going to come to you now. So I cannot accept any civil war. And now I can't really pray that prayer. And it's something like more like, Lord, thank you for the civil war. For you will use it to sanctify your people or bring a revival. It's different from the Hebrides prayer. If I would walk into that prayer room now and that the men were praying in that stall for the revival on that word, and I would run in there and tell them, no, something bad's going to come. You guys, something bad's going to come and that will bring the revival. That will say, get out. You are so mad. You are against our faith right now. You are not allowed in this prayer room. No, it's going to be beneficial. Trust me, it's very different. It's, like Missy said, it's a different time. But yet I still have to question everyone now tonight and go to the Lord and ask him, is this his will? Because it's very confusing. But yeah, I'm finished. I finished this topic. But yes, I think I narrowed it down for myself. And hopefully... you guys can understand what I'm going through.
Well, look, you just said the right thing. Just go to the Lord and ask him what to pray for, and he'll let you know. He'll let you know. Praise God. Go ahead, George.
I would consider that the only heart that we even come close to knowing and condition is our own with the Lord, and praying for nations and everything else. I think if we start, and the Bible tells us, pray for the peace of our city and pray for those in leadership or, you know, over us. And I think if we would come before the Lord and just say, Lord, show me any area of my own heart that I have not fully submitted to you, and let me be the piece of land where you start. and let revival be me. Let me live revival, and you live through me, and let me make disciples, put me in contact with these people of peace around me, so that my ways please you, Lord, and even my enemies will be at peace with me, so that if there's turmoil in the land, but we please the Lord, then even as we come in contact with enemies, that's the revival that's going to change lives. When an enemy meets a living son of God, then that's decision time for that person. And if we can see revival, you know, we know dark times are going to come and there is going to be all kinds of calamity and famine. But if he dresses the flowers of the field and he takes care of and he knows of every sparrow that falls, if we will come to just a childlike faith and keep trusting him daily, I think that's, you know, we've got to start with just the simplest faith and simplest trust in God, and that's where my heart tells me that revival is, we're equipped with everything we need to bring life and speak life wherever we are and bring peace to our community. And then while the shaking's going on around us, we'll be so busy submitting ourselves to God and enjoying his presence. I think peace is going to be the currency of the future. And if we've got peace, then we're the bank. And the brothers and sisters that are coming out of these institutions that are not right, they're coming to our bank to get peace. And we will be able to trade in peace and trade that false thinking and tear down those strongholds, those mental thoughts that they've been built, all those false teachings and everything else. We can dismiss those and help them rebuild with truth. So the more we invest in truth and trust God and ask him to remove all error and remove any part of our heart that we haven't submitted to him, I think everything going on around the world is just going to take a long back seat to the life that God's going to live through us. And every one of us is going to be a refuge, and every one of us is going to be a lighthouse all around the world. We're not all going to go to one spot and be a refuge and be light. We're going to be salt and light wherever we are, and God is well able to protect us and provide for us. And that's all I can say. I hope that's encouraging. I've encouraged myself.
Amen, George. You nailed it again. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Can you write that down and send it to me? I'm just kidding. That's awesome, brother. All right. He's exactly right. Anybody else? Go ahead, Will. She had something to say. Yes, sir.
2 years ago, when you read that Deborah D's testimony, it was an awesome motivator, because it said if my people called by my name, and I heard on Saturday everyone was talking about the Faith of Potatoes movie, that you guys are familiar with that film. Angus Buckham is a big he started a revival, I think, in South Africa. I don't know all his doctrines, he's been running that premise: if my people call by my name, will turn from their humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways. I will and pray. I will hear from heaven and heal their land. He's been using that promise. He's been having prayer rallies in the South Africans. I don't know if you guys have seen it. It's they've been showing up by the millions on that prayer. I don't know how much focus there was. Well, humble themselves and for the wicked ways, but there was emphasis on praying. I hopefully put their attention on, okay, guys, there is praying, but there's that humble yourselves and that turn for your wicked ways, which is not going to be easy. And then it was a great motivator to go and to humble myself. And I David has awesome teachings on humility. Yeah. And I started saying, well, just cleansing myself first so the Lord could fulfill that promise. It's just now, if I accept any war, it's like I'm not believing that promise that the Lord gave me a few years ago. But now, again, there's so much to consider.
You're muted, Michael.
I know it. I saw it. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I think it's in 1 Corinthians somewhere where Jesus is going to have to present his church before the Father. And he's going to step aside so that the Father could be all in all. And it's from this time and from the time where you get saved, I guess, till the Lord performs that, there's another verse that says there's one God who is over all, in all, and through all, and this is where we have to step aside and let the Lord do all this work in us, and we have to just let that happen, we have to get to that point where, He teaches us to be more heavenly. It's kind of like I don't know, a bird leaving his nest and learning how to fly, and he has to be that God is in your presence and is Lord over everything in your life, and there's no hindrance there. There's a complete surrender. That's one God in all, over all, and through all. So that's what Jesus is doing now. He's interceding for us to present us to his Father that way. And I wish I remembered the verse somewhere in 1 Corinthians where he's going to present us to God that way. And it's not in our own power. It all has to be, of course, by him, in his power, And he's going to be over all and through all. That leaves anything out except for faith for us to believe that God's going to do this. And that's what we got at the cross was Jesus Christ, and now we need to abide in him in this way. It's a huge humbling, and I would just remind everyone of that.
Amen. Anybody else? I had a question, but there was a verse that I wanted to recite. I can't figure out what it was. First Corinthians 3:1. If everybody's through with the Sunday, I'd like to get into this just a little bit. 1 Corinthians 3:1. This is Paul speaking to the Corinthian church. And he said, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ. He said, I fed you with milk, not with meat, for you were not able to bear it, Nay, not even now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. Okay, that's what I wanted to just touch on. I ask y'all, what is a carnal Christian? What are the marks of a carnal Christian? What designates a carnal Christian? Yeah, Leah.
Living by the flesh.
Okay. Amen. Living by the flesh, that's part of a carnal Christian. That's a basic part of it, but specifically. Yeah, Julie.
They walk by sight. They're don't have a spiritual understanding of the scriptures. They're not spirit-filled.
That's right. They're not spirit-filled. They're walking by sight and not by faith. Yeah, Missy?
Well, two verses that come to my mind is, if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So that, and a carnal Christian doesn't live by faith. You know, like Julie said, they walk by sight, not faith, you know. So that's just some thoughts that came to
me. Amen. What about in the fellowship? How can you tell a carnal Christian in a fellowship?
News junkies.
Okay. Okay. Well, could be part of it, yeah. Part of it. Is that, listen, let me just throw something at you just for a little bit. If it's someone who's been a Christian for, let's say, 10 years, and he's no better off now than he was 10 years ago, other than the fact that he, as they most often do, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and his ticket's punched. What, as a Christian, do we have to do to bring him to maturity? Because he's one that, or she, he or she, it, is one that a babe in Christ all from birth, you know. He's still a babe in Christ. They're still a babe in Christ. They've been a babe in Christ for 10 years now. They haven't progressed one iota, one step at all. He requires that people pray for him all the time. He requires that people do for him all the time. He requires that the body take care of him rather than him helping out in the body, assuming that position that God had already ordained him to have. Yeah, Missy.
We gotta speak the word seasoned with salt. Give them grace. Speak grace, not condemnation. Speak faith to them.
You have to teach them, don't you?
Yeah, you have to speak the truth to them in love, you know? Yep.
Yep, that's right, dude. Teach a man to fish and he feeds himself. Well, I just want to throw that out there. A carnal man is someone that has that the body has to take care of and nourish him, and actually you need to encourage him to do as the Word of God says. You know, I can tell you this much: I have been here has. With the teachings of David, the Lord through David, have really matured a lot of people very quickly, and they have y'all too, as you already know, but matured you very quickly. When you came upon that truth, you hungered after that truth, you went after that truth like a dog after a dog bone, you know. But carnal Christians don't do that. That's too much trouble. They'd rather just sit in church and listen to the preacher and da 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 da. That's what I believe a carnal Christian is. One that sits and just thinks that he's okay when he's not. Yeah, Missy.
A carnal Christian looks no different, lots of times looks no different to than an unsaved person.
That's right.
They love the things of the world. They their ways are the world's ways. You know, which goes along with faith. You know, if you are living according to the faith, what the scripture says, then your ways, you know, of obtaining things or whatever are the world's ways. You pay for everything rather than having faith from, you know, asking the Lord for everything. You just automatically, if you have the money, you automatically go buy something rather than ask the Lord to provide it for you. And, you know, you don't do anything differently than the way the world does it.
Yeah, Pat, go ahead. I'm sorry, I was muted.
That's all right. So I think there's a couple of categories of those people that that comes to my mind, and that is you can be within a structure of that is always supporting that a process of going to the ways of the world or functioning in the ways of the world. And that support structure around you providing the amen. Yes, that's the way we do it as Christians type of thing. And you can be bound to that and become very comfortable with that process and feel accepted and righteous and whatever for functioning in that. And so there's just that... being within that environment or having no support structure to get out of it. I guess that's why certain revival preachers or something get you to start and, you know, think about other ways or other things that kind of jar that thinking. But apart from that, just on the personal level, individuals, you know, we can become comfortable with doing things the way of the world and be comfortable even though we know it's not, I guess, not right, not God's way of doing things. You can become comfortable resting in that, and it becomes fearful to go outside of the bounds of that, and trusting and, you know, and exploring how to trust God, to reach out and grab that word and grab that faith. And even though you may fail at times or fail, but just to keep on striving on, sometimes that desire is not there in people because you rather choose to stay in your comfort zone, so to speak. And I guess that's when the circumstances of life and the plagues and these various different situations, catastrophes that happen to us tend to shake us out of that dormant sleep, you know, and wake us up, and it brings us into a place where we don't have the resources to make it through this particular situation. I need something more from God, and it would be the motivator to break you out of that carnality. But I think it's that resting in the ways of the world's ways or the earth's ways of doing that or functioning in that perspective. So I think we need revival for sure.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Let me just, the reason, yeah, Dave, go ahead.
I was just thinking, don't we have an example of carnal Christians versus spiritual Christians with the 10 virgins?
Mm-hmm. Somewhat, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. I mean, you know, the five are wise, five are foolish. I'm not sure how you take a foolish virgin and make her wise. It's, you can't. It didn't happen then. I'm not saying it won't happen, but it's a very difficult place to be. So, especially if you're the one of the wise ones and you see somebody that's foolish and you're scratching your head thinking, "What? I don't get it," you know? So I don't know. There's a place. I think there's a point in time. There's not going to be any room for being foolish. That's all. I don't know what else to say, think about it. I don't want to.
Well, he's going to give us 3.5 years to get it right.
Yeah.
Go ahead, George.
Yeah. I think we're going to have to lay our lives down.
Can't hear you, George.
Oops.
I think we're going to have to lay our lives down for these to bring them along. It's, you know, the Bible says a father whom a father loves, he chastises a son.
Mm-hmm.
And that rod of correction, that's what Paul's giving them there. He's exposing them to be babes when they should be coming along and be more spiritual. And when you read words that don't get preached in these churches nowadays, like examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, or that the righteous are scarcely saved, and all these words that talk about how, you know, we're to have a chaste life, and we're to walk circumspectly, we're to examine ourselves and judge ourselves and present ourselves as a daily sacrifice. And by laying ourselves down, we won't get cozied up to carnal Christians and become carnal. Our salt has to be salty enough not to be overwhelmed by their lukewarmness. And we have to be able to lay down even having a friendship with people that us helping them to come along and them helping us also, because we'll judge ourselves before we judge somebody else. And to just let somebody know the dangerous tightrope that they're walking towards perdition if they don't run the race that God's given them to run, that God will give their rewards to somebody else. And he might even put out their light if we don't treat the sacrifice with the respect, you know, that God saved us with something precious. And if we walk all over that sacrifice, then woe is us. And I think to have a a solemn respect for how we came to be born again, and to walk it out with fear and trembling would help these carnal people and help the carnality in us get exposed and expunged. So we're going to get the opportunities, and if y'all see weakness in me, you'd rather take the lashing and come out on the other end than you would laugh at the wrong jokes and hee-haw all the way to hell. That's all. Amen. I got.
Thank you, Lord. That's good, George. That's right. Let me just read you something that Andy had, Andy Murray. He says, from what we find in Corinthians, we notice four marks of the carnal state. First, it is simply a condition of protracted infancy. For example, if we see a beautiful six-month-old baby who can't speak or walk, we don't trouble ourselves about that. It's unnatural and ought to be so. But suppose a year later we find that the child has not grown at all, and 3 years later there is still no growth. Then we would say, there's something terribly wrong with that one. And the baby who at 6 months old brought such joy to everyone who saw him now has become to the mother and to all a source of anxiety and sorrow. There's something wrong. The child cannot grow. At 6 months old, it was quite right that it should eat nothing but milk, but years have passed by, and it remains in the same weakly state. And that is just the condition of many believers. They are converted. They know what it is to have assurance and faith. They believe in pardon for sin. They begin to work for God, and yet somehow there is very little growth in spirituality, in the real heavenly life. We come into contact with them. We feel at once there is something lacking. There's none of the beauty of the holiness or of the power of God's Spirit in them. This is the condition of the carnal Corinthians expressed in what was said to the Hebrews. You have had the gospel so long that by this time you ought to be teachers, and yet you need that men should teach you the very rudiments of the oracles of God. Isn't it sad to see a believer who has been converted 5, 10, or 20 years and yet shows no growth, no strength, and no joy of holiness? That's so true. I know a lot of them like that. A lot of them like that. You know, there's another mark to that too. There's a lot of sin and failure continually in their walk. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, there's some fellowship verses here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If we're going to talk about the carnality they had there. And it's the 20th verse, and it mentions there that though I...
You're breaking up, Andrew.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you were breaking up. You're just kind of staticky. Might draw a little closer to your microphone or something.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, that's much better.
Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20 to 23 is when Apostle Paul is talking to the carnal church, and it's kind of like a fellowship with these different types of people, where he becomes a Jew to a Jew, and to those under the law as under the law, and to those without the law as without the law. But it also makes mentions they're weak to the weak, and that he might gain the weak. And you know, it seems to me like 19 to 23, he's speaking about how he fellowships it with them, and then the rest of the chapter 9, he's speaking of it's what you need to take into account when you meet with these people who are in the world or carnal even. And and the people who are worldly, or the worldly church, and it's telling you an effect there that manifests, you know, on the race course that you have to run, and on the game you have to play, and to seek that upward prize, and how does he run? And accordingly, so run as not with uncertainty. So I fight I as not beating the air, but I bruise my body and bring it into bondage, lest by any means, after I have preached to others, I myself should be disapproved. So this preachment, of course, is if it's respected, I guess, on how you do this fellowship, God led, I guess, because, you know, he tried to become like the people, but not be like those people. To fellowship with them, to bring them to the Lord, and there's a kind of like a fellowship, and then the effect of that fellowship afterwards on how he has to protect himself while he's doing that. That's what I was looking for. So while he's doing the 9:20 to 23 to those people, he's doing the 9:24 to 27 on how he keeps himself when he talks to those people. So this is a great example, actually, for us. If you guys want to review those few verses.
Amen. Oh, we're almost out of time here. Okay. Is there a teaching on how and what we should be praying for? That's a good question, Lana. I am sure there's a lot. David's teaching on the 10th and the 7th was all about prayer and what to pray for. Led me to ask the question I was confused about. Don't know if you listened to it. Well, I would say listen to it again. Find out what it is he asked to pray for. I know what we've been praying for. We've been praying that the deep state come down. We've been praying that the church deep state come down, faction come down, the ones that have been coming against God's people. That's what we've been praying against. We've been praying against witchcraft and also whatever God lays on your heart. You know, when you're in the spirit, God will just lay stuff on your heart, and you can go ahead and begin to do that. I don't know which ones those two teachings that David gave. It might tell you what all he did pray for. Okay, anybody else before we go? Go ahead, Will.
Sure. There's this video on social media, 50 COVID-affected countries singing Amazing Grace. I don't know if there's time for you to share it, Michael, but it's awesome. If not, then you guys should surely check it out on YouTube. It's amazing.
What is it?
50 COVID countries singing Amazing Grace.
Well, put it in the chat. 50... Put it in the chat there. Everybody can get a copy of it.
Okay. All right. No, it's very good. It's on YouTube. Yeah, it's awesome.
Okay. I'll look at it myself. But put the link in there on the chat, and let's see if we can get it that way. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you so much for tonight and the fellowship that we've had. Lord, place it all in our hearts when we're in our prayer closet, the things to pray for, what you want us to pray for. And Lord, I know that one of the things that you want us to pray for is guidance from you, to be led by your Spirit. And when we're led by your Spirit, can't go wrong. even in our day-to-day walk. And like Missy was talking about, we want to be able to do whatever you want us to do and not what our flesh wants to do. Help us to kill this old flesh. Help us to get rid of the old body and just to rely on you, Lord. That's always been my quest, Lord, is to allow your Holy Spirit to lead and guide me. I know sometimes we fail. Sometimes I fail. Many times I fail. But I still want and desire to be led every way by your Spirit. And Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you. We just, right now, we cast down all thoughts and images by the enemy to keep us from praying, to keep us from being led by the Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we cast down all witchcraft curses. Send them right back where they came from in the name of Jesus. And I know that that's been a problem here. We just cast it down, cast it back where it came from to go upon the one who threw them 10 times fold, 10 times over. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to place it in all of our hearts to pray for one another while we are in a prayer closet. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that we're also going to be praying for revival, like Will was talking about. We want that revival. We want to see our loved ones come into the truth of the gospel. There's a lot of them that think that they're in there, but Lord, we know that they're lacking in a lot of ways, but we know that you can bring them around. You have that power, and we know that you're going to do it because you're going to honor our prayers for them. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Be with us. Give us a good night's sleep tonight. Let us wake up in the morning super refreshed. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Good night, everybody.